Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I want you to imagine that you are a manager of a company. Huge company, believes in profit. Then you have announced that you are going to fill a job vacancy. Then you have three applications, okay? Generally, what do we look? You look for physical attributes without any discriminations, personality qualities, whether this candidate has any professional goals, are there any practical concerns, references, ability to communicate, what else? Previous experience, right? If everybody was asking previous experience and nobody wants to give a job without it, how do we get a job? That's an inherent contradiction right there. Well, anyway, keeping all these things in mind, you begin to interview your applicants. First candidate comes, and you read in his resume that this candidate is very good at accomplishing mission. Right on. He has strong beliefs and would do anything to prove them. He would even betray trust and take bribes to fulfill what he thinks is right. Would you select him? Yes? No? No opinion? Okay. It's okay. There is no right or wrong answer, but you can say yes or no. Candidate 2. His resume reads that he is a caring person, but impulsive, takes actions on the basis of emotions rather than rationale. Worthy to be called as Satan by his own boss, and also known to be a liar, according to convenience. Would you select him?
No.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Candidate 3. You read in his resume that he has a strong will, therefore goes by what he sees and not what he hears. He is not self-confident and doubts almost everything. Known as a man of little faith or no faith, would you choose him? Okay. Well, as you might have observed already, the first candidate was Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. The second one was Peter, who denied Christ. And the third one was Thomas. And he is given a title, Doubting Thomas. You know, Dr. Thomas, D.T. Thomas. He goes like that. You know, for leave alone company job, none of them would even pass ordination exams. Now, if they apply for your church pastor, you won't. If I were on the search committee, I would not select him either. So, what does it mean to us today to look at this scripture, look at these disciples, you know? It means that Jesus chose to bring good news of peace in spite of the fact that not all chosen disciples would fulfill his expectations. And my dear brothers and sisters, that is the message of resurrection. The message of resurrection is actually the message of Christmas, which is the message of peace. You know, there is a parallel between Christmas and Easter where you find angels coming in both times and with one message, don't be afraid. But only difference is at the first Christmas, the angels sang peace on earth, but after resurrection, Christ himself anointed his people with the spirit of peace. Let's look at the gospel reading today. I just like to want to little back up, not just 19 verse, but verse 1, John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week. See, notice that the gospel writer John was very particular about recording the time and the day in his gospel. No other gospel writers made it as explicit as John when it came to recording the time. When was the first day of the week? According to our time, it was the last Sunday. Last Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene saw that the stone had been removed. Good. So, concluded that the body of Jesus had been taken away. Interesting. She did not even had this doubt. Would it be that Jesus had risen from the dead? I mean, she didn't even think of that, right? Concluded that Jesus' body was stolen. And, well, if I were there, probably I wouldn't jump up and say, Christ is risen, hallelujah. I would have said the same thing, oh, somebody took the body, because resurrection comes at the end of the age. She reported to Peter and John, verse 2. So, Peter and John had this running race, right? So, first Peter ran running, and then John outran Peter. But John did not go into the tomb. Then Peter comes later, he went into the tomb. Now, you need to read verse 8 and 9 together. When we read it together, we understand that they believed what was told by Mary and gave up and went home. They're gone. Nothing is here gone. But, verse 11, Mary did not go. Mary did not give up. Well, we men know that women don't give up that easily, right? Well, it's a good thing that she didn't give up, so that she saw Jesus. If only Peter and John stayed with her a little longer, probably they too would have seen Jesus at that time. So this is the context of our scripture, because the verse 19, John writes, when it was evening on that day. What does that mean? We are still talking about, according to our time, last Sunday. When it was time, evening on that day. The morning, Mary saw Jesus. And the evening, disciples were afraid of the Jews, so they locked themselves in a room. There, Jesus appeared among them and said, peace be with you. Can you just imagine the scene? They were so terrified. Close the doors, and somebody comes in and says, peace be with you. And I would be terrified. I would have lost whatever peace I had left for me there. Do you see the contrast here? Disciples were making peace with themselves and with each other by hiding behind the locked doors. Sometimes we create our own closed doors, don't we? We create our own closed doors and we lock ourselves apart in search of peace. And then in verse 20, then you read, Jesus revealed himself. Then that's when the disciples rejoiced. Okay, how many disciples were there at that time? 10 of them. Not all of them, 10 of them, because Judas committed suicide by then and Thomas was not with them. I wonder what happened to this guy. Where was he hiding? Probably he didn't have enough trust to hang around with the rest of the disciples. You know how he is. So we don't know where he was. So Jesus said, peace be with you again. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Friends, this is the foundation for the very concept of ordination in the church. These people were set apart to be selected by anointing them with the Holy Spirit and entrusting them with the pastoral authority to proclaim the good news of God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Oh, well, but Thomas was not there when Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on them. So verse 26, a week later, when was that? According to our time, it would be today. Again, disciples were behind the closed doors. This time, Thomas was there. Again, Jesus had the same message, that is, peace be with you. You know, for the troubled hearts, doubting souls, for hiding people, Jesus had only one message, peace be with you, peace be with you. How could we choose that peace? Jesus chose peace in spite of the fact they could not fulfill his expectations. And things are not going to be all right always. You know, in fact, if you read Gospels carefully, disciples never had peace in a strict sense. They never had peace. Because peace is not the absence of war. Peace is not the absence of problems. God never promised problems-free life. But God promised us when there are problems, God's presence is with us. That's what brings us peace. And that's what brought them peace. And Jesus chose to do that by doing two things. First, he created an intentional unity among the disciples. Intentional unity. They all had different temperaments, but how he created intentional unity. Jesus did not fire Peter because he denied him. Well, I would have. Somebody is following for 3.5 years and he says, I don't know. I don't know either. But Jesus did not fire him. And Jesus did not reject Thomas either because he doubted him. That's what we tend to do. We tend to create peace in the community by eliminating the troublemakers. Let the homeless go away from our parks so that the rest of us can live in peace. Let's go to war with every country that has the weapons of mass destruction. Then the rest of the world can have peace. Jesus died in order to achieve peace by creating an intentional unity among his disciples. It's not uniformity. It's like five fingers, unity is like. They are all not the same. They are not the same size. At only when they are united, they function normally. They had the common purpose. They had the common purpose. Isn't it what we read in our psalm today? How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Secondly, we read that Jesus chose peace by intentional sharing. You know, in our Acts of Apostles reading, we read that they all brought whatever they had and shared with others. They all had, you know, how about that? Just imagine if all people in the world in one village bring all that they have together. It's amazing what was written there. There was none in need. That's exactly what would happen. If everybody brought what they have, there would be no one in need. That's what Mahatma Gandhi said. He said, there is enough in this world for everyone's need, but not everyone's greed. There is enough in this world for everyone's need, but not everyone's greed. During this time of economic instability, when people are losing jobs, homes, and their lives, very lives are threatened, what a shame for us to hear that some greedy companies are taking bonuses. That's the classic example of being greedy. Jesus created intentional sharing, demonstrated by sharing the same cup with Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. He shared the same cup with Peter, who denied him. He shared the same cup with Thomas, who doubted him. Till we learn to be sensitive to the needs of others, our lives seem to be filled with things, yet we feel unfulfilled. Friends, this is the good news of resurrection for us. Even when we hide ourselves in fear and shame and doubt, Christ comes into our private lives with only one message: peace be with you. It is in his presence we find peace for our troubled souls. Christ chose peace by demonstrating intentional unity and by intentional sharing. Just like when we come together to the Lord's table, we share the same cup in spite of our differences. May we, therefore, as believers in Christ, choose peace, live in peace, and proclaim peace into this hurting world. Amen.